Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed so that you can come to find out about the truth of God as compared to the confusion that is in the world and to restore original Christianity for today. So let me ask you a question, because we're going to start talking about the holidays of this world. And for many people, those are very important times. And everyone believes that they are so good and right that they've got to be Christian. And after all, the Christian church endorses them and backs them and even sanctifies them. And isn't that amazing? Now, I don't know what your background may be or what your religious convictions are. But what we need to understand is this, and I'll ask you this question. How much real spiritual truth are you willing to accept? And how much of that is going to motivate you to turn to God? Now, I realize there are many people out there who say, oh, well, all the religions are wrong, yet they're all the same. And in saying that, that is literally a true statement. But how did it happen? How did it happen that evil is now good, good is now evil? How did it happen that in the name of freedom we have exalted sin, we've exalted self-opinion, and we have misplaced the choices that God has given us and have chosen the evil instead of the good? And how is it that it's happened that all of this has occurred, that now blatantly, politically, religiously, economically, and every facet of life that we see today is written with lies and deceit? And you stop and wonder and you think, oh, is there anyone who speaks the truth? And the real question becomes then, what is truth? And we will see that is the heart and the core as to why things have turned out the way that they have. First of all, we need to understand, number one, God is not the author of confusion. And you look at the Christian world, you look at the political world, you look at the nations of the world, and what do you see? Chaos and confusion. And we are reaching a time, just like Jesus said, in the last days, before his return, that it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So let's begin to examine how we got to where we are. And yes, down through history, there have been many cycles, ups and downs, good and evil, wars, rumors of wars, famine, starvation, and all of the things that we read of in the Bible that come because men sin. And how did it begin? Let's answer the question first. How did it begin? And then we will look at where we are today. So we have to go back to Genesis, and we have to see what the problem really was. And we know, as we have covered several times before, that Adam and Eve decided that they would use their free moral agency that God gave them to decide for themselves what was good and evil. And that's why God put into the Garden of Eden the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he gave them free moral agency. He gave them a complete language built into their minds. They could think, they could reason, they walk with God, they talk with God. They knew what was right. God gave it to them. But they still had to choose. And after a while, they became complacent. And so the serpent, which we have read about in Revelation 12, that ancient serpent called Satan and the devil, deceived them. Now let's talk a little bit about deception, because deception is very clever. And deception does not come all at once. And deception comes a step at a time, using and causing people to misuse their free moral agency to choose what is evil instead of what is good. Now, let's see why God had to punish Adam and Eve. Because they took it upon themselves to decide what was good and evil. And that's the only way that they became like God. Any other way, they did not become like God. They didn't know good and evil as God does. They didn't become like God in as much as that they became spirit beings like God is. They didn't become like God because now they knew everything that there was to know. No, the only way they became like God is to decide for themselves what is good and what is evil, what is right, what is wrong. And just like everyone else, because I want you to stop and think in your own life, and I want to ask you a question. Do you have a Bible or more than one Bible in your house? Answer, yes. Question, have you read it? Do you believe it? Do you understand it? Do you know what's in it? Do you realize that you have the greatest possession worth more than all the money in the world right in your house? A Bible, which tells you God's definition of right and wrong, good and evil. Does anybody else's definition count? Well, of course not. But God gives you the free moral agency to choose. So how have you chosen? And how have you gone along with the society? And what is it that you do and what is it that you have accepted that is evil? And yet, you believe it's good. Well, what happened was they were cut off from God, put out of the Garden of Eden. They were now subject to death. They now have the law of sin and death within them. And as God said, in dying, you shall surely die. So the New Testament tells us that because of that sin, death was passed to all mankind. And because we have a nature of death and sin, that's why all have sinned. Let's see the society as it came along. Let's see the difference of what happened in the example of Cain and Abel. Because this is fundamentally the very first step in understanding what happens when people give themselves over to sin and knowingly reject the truth of God. You can say, well, I've never done that. I'm a good person. I go to church every Sunday. I'm faithful with taking the Eucharist and the Mass. Oh, and I do my Hail Marys and Our Fathers. Does that make you righteous? What is God's definition of righteousness? Forget what the priest may tell you because he doesn't know. He doesn't even use the Bible except as an excuse to deceive you. And likewise with the ministers in the pulpit. So like I started out, how much truth are you willing to accept? Because you're going to be tested in this series that we are doing on the occult and Halloween. And someone asked the question, why do you always do series? The answer is, because there is so much to the Word of God, and there is so much deception in the world, that it's like taking an onion and peeling it back layer by layer by layer by layer by layer by layer in order to get to the truth. Ask yourself a question. Have I been deceived? You probably say, well, no, not me. How do you know? And you need to ask yourself the question, how deeply have you been deceived? Let's see how it started. Now, even after they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God still dealt with them. They could come to the east of the Garden of Eden, where the two cherubim were, and then they could meet God there. And God gave them his laws and his commandments, and any idiot preacher who says, there was no law for 3,500 years until it was given to Moses. You ever hear anyone say that? You might as well get up and walk out, because you're not going to get the truth of anything from that minister. Basic truth. The wages of sin is death. Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. Therefore, because Adam and Eve sinned, there was law. Same as the Ten Commandments that God gave to ancient Israel. Exactly the same. Now, Genesis 4. Now, God makes the account very simple so you can understand it. Genesis 4. Verse 3, came to pass that Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Well, now that sounds good, doesn't it? You want to bring an offering to God? People think, well, yes, I want to give to God. Well, think about it for a minute. He gives you life and breath and everything that there is. And as Paul wrote, in him we live and move and have our being, even all the human beings on earth, the just and the unjust, and God sends the rain and the sun and the food and the air and everything to everyone because he loves his creation, but he's given the freedom of choice and commanded them to choose. So Cain said, I'm going to bring an offering to God. Now we'll ask the question, why then did God not accept Cain's? Let's read on. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat of it, and the Lord had regard to Abel and his offering. Now, what is the firstlings of the flock? That is the law of the firstborn that you can find that God also gave to Israel. There could not be that offering of the firstlings unless there was a law that God said, the firstborn is mine. Now, we find that in Exodus 13. So he brought what was right according to the commandment of God. And here's a very interesting and profound lesson that you need to learn, which is this. You must come to God on his terms. According to his way. According to his laws. According to his truth. No one comes to God on their terms and say, God, here I am, look at how good I am. Let's read on. Verse 5. But he, that is God, did not have regard to Cain and his offering, and Cain was extremely angry, and his countenance fell. Isn't that what happens when people find out the real truth of the law and they don't want to change? Isn't that true? How did you react, or how are you now going to react to this statement, which is truth? Sunday is not the day of the Lord. Never has been, never will be, never can be. Unless you have the power to change the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars, and the universe, because it's built right into it. And there is not one scripture, not one scripture. I'll repeat that. There is not one scripture in the whole Bible that justifies Sunday keeping. And in talking to a man recently and talking about the Sabbath, he said, oh, don't want to get into that argument. See? Doesn't want to do it God's way. What is it that you want to do in your life? Are you going to use Church at Home as an opportunity to find out about God and his word? or are you going to carry into your house and into your mind what you have been taught without ever proving what is right and what is wrong? Are you not then doing the same as Adam and Eve, deciding what is good and evil? Yes, he got angry. Oh, depressed. Mad. Verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why is your countenance fallen? What's the matter, Cain? Verse 7 is the key. This is the key to the whole Bible. This is the key to understanding about God and His laws and His word and His truth and the very simple choices that we come to, where we come to many different crossroads in our life and how we compromise with it and how we're subtly changed and how then we become in bondage to Satan and we become enslaved to his way. And that sounds really evil. Well, it is. But one of the things that Satan does, he knows that people would be repelled with that. So as we're going to see a little later on, he introduces fun and game and makes it happy and makes it joyful and makes it just desirable. And of course, we must do it for the children. That's how he works. Notice verse 7. This is the key. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? Now, to do well means if you do according to what I have commanded you. A lot of people say, oh, that harsh law. We don't want that. Well, if you transgress it, yes, it is harsh. Wages of sin is death. Is it not? So here we have Cain, and he's given an if. Now, I mentioned here recently, and one man picked up on that. I said, boy, I would like to have all the if statements in the Bible in one place. Boy, that would really be something to understand. So guess what I got the other day? All the if passages in the Bible. And guess which are the first two? Right here, we're reading them. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? You want God to love you? Yes. You love God in return. You want God to bless you? You do as God has commanded. You want God to accept you? You do well. He'll accept you. The New Testament tells us that we can do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Let's read on. But if you do not do well, sin. There it is in the fourth chapter of Genesis, sin, which is the transgression of the law. And it more properly reads, 1 John 3:4, lawlessness lies at the door. Now, why did he say at the door? Because where the offerings were given were right before the east entrance into the Garden of Eden. They could not go in, but they met God there. And here was the offering, probably an altar right there, and God was there. Abel brought his offering. Cain brought his offering. God accepted Abel's offering, and God did not have regard to Cain's offering. So he explains to Cain, it is simple. The door was the entrance to the Garden of Eden. Sin lies at the door. What he did was sin. And he brought it before God to be accepted of him. But he did not do it according to the commands of God. That becomes a key thing in understanding what we are to do, in understanding about the truth of God, yes, and in understanding the occult holidays of this world, which all of them are occult and not godly and not endorsed by God, not sanctioned by God, not blessed by God. And where do they come from? Well, we'll find out as we go along. Sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you. And who's the author of sin but Satan the devil? And his desire is to have you. His desire is to take you away from God. His desire is to make you think you can get eternal life your way rather than God's way. And he brings wonderful, just, so good, fantastic counterfeits. And yes, they do contain elements of truth. But the end result is the same here. But you, Cain, must rule over it, sin. You don't have to sin. You don't have to give yourself to sin. You don't have to accept sin. And just like everything else, when someone is dedicated to sin and will not repent, and in this case, will not hear the voice of God directly, what does he do? He looks at his brother and says, "Why? He caused this. He made me do it. He turned God against me." So what did he do? He rose up and killed him. Now, that's a very simple explanation at the beginning of the Bible that God has given here so that even the youngest person in the world can understand that when they reach an age that they can understand enough of the language to be able to realize what is being said, and provided they have been taught right from wrong, good from evil. Now, I want to tell you about this book, and I'm going to emphasize this book on every program that we're doing on occult holidays, and we'll begin with Halloween. This book, now some people look at it and say, "Oh, I'm afraid because there's a skeleton on here." Really? Does that make you afraid? The skeleton is there to show you the wages of sin is death, and to show you that the commandments of God are life, and to set before you the choice, and to expose everything that is evil. This book is one of the most essential books that you can have and read and study and prove. This is a complete book, which will help, if you follow it and understand it, release you from the grips of this society and Satan the devil and being held in bondage to the occult that saturates the whole world today. Now, some people be taken back by that. But if you are, I want you to sit back and I want you to think, how did it all happen? What does the Bible have to say about it? And in the next segment, we're going to see what happens to any society that goes the way of Cain. Coming to God with their own ideas, their own righteousness, and demanding that God accept them. And then wonder why things don't work out right. Wonder why life goes wrong. Wonder why the world and this nation is in the condition that it is in. And it's precisely because of this. This world's God is Satan the devil. In Christianity, in Islam, in Hindu, in atheism, in shamanism, in Catholicism, in Protestantism, he is the God of this world. Because it says he's deceived the whole world. Government, financing, economics, every aspect is in the grips of Satan the devil's deception. And I'm here to tell you right now, that unless Jesus returns according to his word, there will be no flesh, no human being saved alive. We are in a path of utter destruction. Oh, those are tough words. Well, you better stop, look, and listen, because you'll see it happening. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And be sure and go to our website and get the sermons that I have done, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, and also the one on the love of God. And that will help begin to set you free from the grips of this world and society and religion that you are entrapped in. So once again, use Church at Home to learn of God, to know of God, to prove from your Bible. So this is Fred Coulter saying, till next time, so long, everyone.